Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. It's Melly. I'm ready for fun with Melly. I hope you guys are buckled up. We're talking today about the return of Christ. What does the Bible really say about that? Now, we're going to go through lots of Bible verses, so you might want to write some of these things down, exactly, you know, which verses I'm looking at, because I've kind of gone through all the verses that pertain to this, whether it's an Old Testament prophecy or what Jesus said himself or what's in the book of Revelation. All these things we're going to kind of put together and piece together, especially in the light of all the things that we've been recently learning. If you're new here, I'm Melissa Redpill. Definitely you can find out more information about my channel on melissaredpill.com, and we always look at what's going on in the light of God's word, because everything is happening is literally biblical. This is not just some big political movement. And I really appreciate everybody out there and working hard on exposing, you know, the truth about what's going on. But the biggest picture of all is how this is biblical. So if this is something you're very interested in, make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe, make sure your bell is rung. I did a surprise video yesterday. So if you didn't know, if you didn't have your bell rung, then you did not hear about it. But yeah, sometimes I do a little surprise one because Charlie Ward and I got together. And I thought you might be interested in that because we talked about the Antichrist, especially because Tucker decided he would come along and say this was, you know, the Antichrist. Okay, I want to make sure everything is working good. Can you see me? Everything's good. I want to make sure that everybody's good over on YouTube land. We are actually over on YouTube now. Awesome. Now, thank you, Lord. Yes, I see that that's working. So those of you who are wanting to help out, please go and join that one too and be on the live stream and participating with everybody over there. I'm going to pop the link over in the chat so you have that. So are you guys ready? Are you buckled? And let's go. All right, here we go. This is the first verse I wanted to bring out to you. Everything has shifted. That's okay. Okay, this is, you ready? Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that you just guide us into all truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are just constantly tapping us on the shoulder and reminding us of these things. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continually just speak to our hearts and help us to connect what's going on. Thank you that you keep us encouraged. And thank you that you've brought us all together here on the Freedom Force Battalion so that we can enter the kingdom together and be a part of what you're doing to rout the enemy, Antichrist. We pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. All right, so let's see. This is in Matthew chapter 28. This is the last thing the Lord Jesus told the disciples when he was headed out, when he's like, I've got to go. And so it's time for me to go. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was their charge. That was their commission. This is the Great Commission. He was sending them out to go and do the job of making the earth filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea, not just in one little group in the Middle East, but all throughout the world. And the gospel was to go throughout all the nations. He said, teach these things to the new disciples, to obey all the commandments I have given you, and be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So he was basically telling them, and there's other verses that really go into this too, is that he would be back at the end of the age. He would be with them, but what he means by this is, and again, it's not just this one verse. That's really a pet peeve of mine, is that sometimes people take, uh, and intentionally wrest the scriptures, as God said, that they twist things so that they would just pull one verse out and make a whole doctrine on this, you know, just one little verse. And that's not what I'm doing. This is just one of many verses that talk about that Jesus would be back at the end of the age. And age is 2,000 years. So, hello, we are at 2,000 years right now. So that's why a lot of people are talking about that he is going to be here at the end of the age. Now, there's a difference of opinion in various factions as to whether that end of the age is about where he will have us escape earth, or if we will, you know, be on earth and his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm in that second camp. Most of you guys know that. If you're not familiar with that, go to my melissaredpill.com. You see the end times page. I've written four books about end times. And yeah, this is the end times for the bad guys, not for us. So definitely check into that. We'll talk about that here more in a little bit. All right, so that's Matthew 28. If you want to write that down. Another thing that Jesus told us in his disciples and us by proxy is in John chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. This is the NLT version. It's kind of a neat way it says it. If this were not so, wouldn't I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Would I have told you that? I'm sorry, I kind of tangled that up. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? In other words, I told you I was going to prepare a place for you. I wouldn't have told you that if it wasn't true. You know, everything I say is true. And so you don't have to worry about whether I'm telling you the truth or not. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I'm going. Now, this version is maybe not my favorite. So let's just take, sometimes the NLT is maybe not always the best, but that's why we compare it to other versions. So let's just go and look at here. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So what is he saying? Ultimately, that he's going to prepare a place for you. And I always thought that that meant in heaven somewhere. But as I've said many times, I've said this in the books, is that he didn't need to prepare heaven. Heaven was already wonderful already. Heaven is perfect already. He's not needing to spend 2,000 years to prepare heaven. Like I said, heaven is perfection. He's spending 2,000 years to work through these disciples in this great commission that he gave them and recorded in Matthew 28 to fill the earth with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. He's been orchestrating this from the right hand of the Father since 2,000 years ago. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So that's what he's been doing. And so that it took a while. It took a while because the earth was a mess. And then he says, also, I want to point this out. He says, I will come again. There you go. Another place where it says he's going to come again. And he says, and I'll receive you to myself. Did not say, now they've made us out to think, though, that he's going to have us leave. You know, not all Christian denominations have said this, but many of them have, especially the end times movies have. But he says, I will come again and receive you to myself. I will, like a receiving line is I'll receive you so that we'll be restored to each other. If in physically, because he says, I'm with you always. He's physically not with us, but he's spiritually with us. He's always been with us. We know that. That's the only reason that you and I are awake, right? So it is because his spirit continually guides us and helps us to go walk in truth. We've known that ever since the day we started to walk with him. He's always with us. He never leaves our side. So he says, though, he'll receive us to himself. I believe he's talking about here physically, that we will be with him physically, that we will be able to see him and touch him and be, you know, physically with him. Difference. Okay. So there's clearly a difference that's going on, that we would be with him. And my opinion is on this is that it's going to be on earth. We'll talk about that as we go along. Okay, so he says, where I know, where I go, you know, and the way you know. So this, they were like, where do you mean? We don't know where you're going. Because they still, even at the end, were saying, are you now going to restore the kingdom? Let me see if I can find, I think that's in let's see where it was. There was one verse, he was like, the disciples were still, after Jesus had you know, died, he had risen, he had been with them for, think this is 40 days. I think this is 40 days. And he had told them to hang on tight in Jerusalem for until they received the blessing from the Spirit from on high. That's a clue. That's a clue. That's the 50th day after the beginning of the counting of the Omer. The counting of the Omer starts on Resurrection Sunday, and it goes to 50 days, and that's when Pentecost, they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would just not be shocked at all if that mass start awakening were to happen on Pentecost. And I am hoping it's this year. I've talked about this for years. I'm like, okay, could it be this year? And I just feel like maybe this year it is. And I'm going to talk about timeline here in just a little bit later in this video. All right. So there's another one. I'll look for that one. Maybe it's here. Okay. I think it's this one. They're asking him. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is in Acts chapter 1. Jesus is just about to ascend. He's just about to leave, and they're still asking him these questions. He, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Just like I was saying, there was going to be a promise. The Holy Spirit would be poured out, just like it says in Joel chapter 2, poured out his Spirit on male and female alike, and that to give them the power to do this amazing job, to have the gospel go throughout the world. And he would need to orchestrate this from heaven to guide each one of us. But that's what's so cool about the Great Awakening, is that you and I are awake because he orchestrates all this. You're not awake because you're smarter than somebody else. You're awake because the Holy Spirit tapped you on the shoulder. So pinch yourself. This is really so cool. All right, so let me see. I want to find that one verse where they're asking him this question. Maybe it's down in here. Here, I think it's coming up. Okay. Or Jesus, he says, you have heard, start this over. Okay, so this verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Like, it's coming up soon. And it was actually at that point was 10 days more. So, therefore, who knows, if we're like just a few days from the baptism of the Holy Spirit for all of humanity. Oh my goodness, write this down, this video, mark this one, because it could be, oh, wouldn't that be awesome? All right, so now he says, then when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He's like, don't you understand? I just told you I'm leaving. But they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear it. And I know how that feels. You don't want to hear it when somebody has to tell you bad news. And so they didn't want to be left. They didn't want to be left. And he said that they would mourn when he left. And yeah, there was mourning, but they also realized, okay, we can't sit here and cry about it. We've got to do the job that the Lord Jesus gave us to do. And he gave them the power to do it. So good job. All right. Anyway, so it says, they're asking, are you going to restore the kingdom? Is it time for your kingdom come? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, you've proven that you're alive from the dead. They didn't get it. There was going to be 2,000 years. Right? They didn't want to know that. So he said, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Okay. Interesting little phrasing here. I just think it's kind of cool. He says it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I think some of that is he's given us clues. And as these days have come closer that we're watching and we're seeing, you know, as the fig tree has budded, you know, that the time is getting close. We can tell, you know, that we're really close to the end of the age. We're seeing all these puzzle pieces coming together. And that's really what really this channel ultimately is about, is yes, we look at the political issues going on and we expose the evil, but we also could look connected to what has God promised in his word. And just like I said, I've got 4 books that I've written on this very topic to help us piece it together. So if you can check that out over on Amazon, I'll pop this link in the chat for you guys. But you just, they're filled. Those of you who've read the books know that they're filled with scripture to help us to connect these dots. So anyway, here they are. I'll pop that into the chat, and I know my wonderful songbird and my wonderful helpers will put this over on the YouTube also in YouTube land. All right, so now what else did he say in Acts? Okay, that's what he's telling them in Acts. Okay, so he's telling them he's leaving them, but he's not restoring the kingdom at that point. Okay, so after he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up out of, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, basically angels, right? Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. Now, this one I don't think is a terribly accurate translation. Let me show you one that I think is, it makes you think, okay, he's going to physically come down out of heaven. And he could. He might. I guess that's a possibility that he could do that. I think, though, this is, here's another possible explanation of what this means. And I'll show you this from the Message version. If I can find the Message. Message. Oh. M comes before N. Okay. Somebody teach me my alphabet. All right. So when you scroll back down, watch your eyes. I'm going to just scroll back down. And so here he said, where is that? Okay, that's what I have to look. Okay, it says kind of cool in the Message version. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Tough to review. I'm sorry, bear with me. You got to hit this button right here. Make it refresh into the Message. Sorry about that. Yeah. This is we're editing on the fly. Okay. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there staring into the empty sky. Suddenly, two men appeared in white robes. They said, you Galileans, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. All right, so I'm just throwing that out there that it's not, I don't think it necessarily in this passage in the book of Acts is indicating, Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, it's not necessarily indicating a physical return in the clouds, in the puffy clouds. I think it's talking about it's going to be mysterious. It'll be, you know, certainly, but mysteriously, just as he left. And so he's not, basically they're saying, okay, you've got to get busy. You've got a job to do, and you can't stand here looking at the sky for him to come back. You've got work to do. And that, in applause to all of the Christians for the past 2,000 years who worked hard and got the job done, led by the Holy Spirit, led by the Lord Jesus orchestrating this himself, so that we have now the earth with the gospel that has gone throughout the earth, as our Lord Jesus said that the gospel had to go throughout all the earth, and then the end would come. All right, so there you go. That's another clue, okay? Is this helping you guys, or are you writing all this down? Write down all these verses that I'm telling you, and so you can go and review it yourself. As he said, they would receive power when the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and this was during the period of the counting of the Omer. He went, of course, our Lord Jesus rose on Resurrection Day, on that Sunday, and then he was there with them for 40 days, and then he left them. He ascended on that 40th day, and he had said that the Holy Spirit would fall upon them very soon. Well, it fell upon them 10 days later on the day of Pentecost. And that's one of the cool things that I love about counting the Omer. It's such a hopeful festival, a hopeful celebration, because we count every week. We count for the whole week, this is the first week and the first day. If you follow me on my social media, you'll see that we're doing this every day, and you begin to get this big bundle of grain. And I hope you have gotten something that you can make a little bouquet for yourself so that you can continue this hopeful counting forward, looking forward to this beautiful day when we're looking to have the Lord some great miracle and like mass start awakening of humanity. I'm going to talk about that also here in just a little bit too, because we've had some very interesting things happening in this counting of the Omer season. Very, very interesting. Now, I'm going to backtrack to what Jesus said so that we can look at, okay, specifically what is going to happen when he returns. And this is very interesting, and I think that sometimes we're so focused on the story of what happened when our Lord Jesus was you know, railroaded in that trial, and then he was, you know, taken to the cross. We get so focused on that, which we should be, but sometimes we don't necessarily listen to what he was saying in the light of what he would do in the future. Okay, so this is when Jesus was standing before Caiaphas, the high priest, and of course that high priest was trying to find one way or another to convict Jesus of this crime of blasphemy, and he had this witness and that witness. Their stories didn't stand the test of scrutiny, and so now he asked Jesus in this passage, and the verse it is Matthew. Okay, I'll find out the verse here just a second. He said, "I charge you under oath." You're under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. He asks him point blank, point blank. It's, you know, Jesus had forced him into a corner where he had to physically ask this question. And so he said, Jesus responded, "You have said so." Another version says, "I am." I am. The version says, "You." One says, "You have said it." Another one says, "I am." On the Passion of the Christ movie, they use that phrase, "I am," which we've already talked about, that's a huge name for the Lord when he says, "I am." Or how he told Moses at the burning bush. If you haven't seen that, my video about Trump Moses leading us out of this wilderness. The Lord called himself the I am. And of course, our Lord Jesus was using that name. The I am. He says, "I am. And from now on," get this, "from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." So there you go. Yeah, of course, at that point, the high priest ripped his clothes. Blasphemy. I don't find it. It's just such a coincidence. Not a coincidence that this whole blasphemy thing has come up. People have never heard the word blasphemy in their lives, and all of a sudden we're here in blasphemy. But anyway, that's another story. So he's ripping his clothes, and wow, terrible. And then that they said, "We don't need any more, trial. He's convicted himself." Jesus had to convict himself of being the Son of God, which he did. He admitted he was. If someone says he didn't admit it, they haven't read this passage right here. I'm going to go ahead and grab it real quick because I don't want to forget to get that for you guys. This is Matthew chapter 26. There we go. Matthew chapter 26. All right. But the reason I'm here is because I want you to see that Jesus said he would be sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Again, okay, that leads us to believe that he's going to come in puffy white clouds. Okay, but I'm going to throw this all out at you that, okay, yes, it says that. It says puffy white clouds. But what do puffy white clouds really mean? What do they represent? They represent coming in power and authority. And that's really the issue. You know, if Jesus just comes on puffy white clouds and doesn't have the authority to cast out these evildoers, then it's not going to help that much, right? But our Lord Jesus is the King of the world. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And when he returns, he will cast out these evildoers, these Satan worshipers, and get the Satanists out of this world. If you're not familiar with that, I go into this in this book, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. It says, "We'll look for them, but we won't be able to find them. They'll be gone. Won't even remember their names anymore." It's going to be so wonderful. So he has the authority to bind the strong man. We know that. Okay. He didn't do that on his first advent. He's going to do this on his second advent. Praise the Lord. All right. So it says that you would see him sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Well, in his first advent, you didn't see that. You didn't see that. You saw him going to a cross and looked like he was defeated. We know, of course, that he was not. He was fulfilling the mission to die for our sins. He took on the the wrath of God and for the wrath of God for us. We know that. So that's clearly not the, you know, it was not the time when we would see him coming on the clouds of heaven, coming in power. In other words, he's telling the high priest Caiaphas, you don't see me in power right now, but you will. You will see me in power. And you'll be sorry. Caiaphas, representing all the cabal. He was the cabal leader of his day, the religious cabal leader. Because right now we're doing not just defeating the beast, but also the false prophet. Because that they've hijacked the papacy. They've hijacked everything. And that's the false prophet. It's not just in the Catholic. It's not just in the Christian church. It's in, you know, every religious institution they've hijacked. So all that's got to be removed. And this guy was representing the cabal and the false prophet of all time. And that they would be sorry when they realized that Jesus was defeating their entire evil empire. All right. So now you see that is supposed to happen, that he will come in power. And it says, you know, in the clouds of heaven. Again, I always think of this clouds of heaven as symbolism for the clouds of power. Okay. But it was when he's saying this, he's basically quoting Daniel chapter, this is, should do better than that. Come on, Melissa. Okay, come on, Melissa Redfield, Daniel 7. Okay, verse 26. All right, this one is, I'm not going to go through the whole passage. If you want to see more detail about Daniel chapter 7, I've got videos on that on my Melissa Redfield channel and talking, going into detail about these kingdoms. But it says the court in heaven, oh, this one's so cool. I love all of it. Oh my goodness, I want to read it all. Okay, let's just go back to here. Okay, this fourth beast is the fourth power that will rule the earth. Who is this talking about? This is talking about the New World Order cabal. This is talking about this terrible, trampling, horrible criminal cartel that has been not just in Iran, not just in America, not just in Venezuela. It's been all over the world. And they've run this terrible organization of evil. To do evil all over the world. It will be different from all the others. It will devour the world, the whole world, trampling and crushing everything in its path. Can I get an amen? You don't have to tell the people of Iran that. They know that. I think the big thing is a lot of people don't realize it's not the IRGC. It wasn't Maduro. It's the ones above them who have controlled each of these countries. It's 10 horns or 10 kings who will devour the world, trampling and crushing everything in its path. It's 10 horns or 10 kings who will rule that empire. Then another king will arise, different from the other 10, who will subdue three of them. He will defy the Most High, oppress the holy people of the Most High. Hello, all the righteous people of the earth who just want to live and have peace in the world. They've been crushed and oppressed, right? We know that. He will try to change their sacred festivals and laws, and they will be placed under his control for a time, times and half a time. These sacred festivals are the festivals that we have been talking about. These sacred festivals are the ones the Lord instituted for us to keep from generation to generation. That is why we always keep the festival of the counting of the Omer. We keep the festival of Passover. We keep the festival of Purim. And I'm so thankful that we have. I'm so thankful that we have, because we've been able to see things that otherwise we could not have seen. We've seen, and I'm not going to talk about it now, but I'll talk about it in just a second, this timeline. Everything that's happening right now is going according to this amazing timeline, this biblical timeline. It's really amazing, and we would not have seen it if we didn't keep the festivals. That's why they didn't want us to keep the festivals. They didn't want us to have this vision of this beautiful day that was coming when our enemies would be annihilated and that we would be delivered. And that we would move forward to this beautiful blessing of the Holy Spirit poured out on all humans. They didn't want us to think about any of that. All right. And so it says, for a time, times, and half a time. That is, and I go into this in the book, the end times and 1,000 years of peace. I decoded the 1,260 days, which is all throughout political, I'm sorry, I didn't mean political. And it goes through this in all this prophecy in the Old Testament. And it's in this book right here. End times in 1,000 years of peace. The 1260 days is the same as 3.5 years, which is the same as 42 months, which is the same as time times and half a time, because time is a year, times is 2 years, and time half a time is a half a year, so that's 3.5 years. So this is biblical prophecy of a completion of a battle, of a struggling, of a birthing. Okay, this is where we finally are at the end of this birthing cycle, and we're crowning. That's what's happening. I really, and if you haven't seen this, on Christmas Day, I believe was a marking of the 1260 days, and that's why Purim was 1335 days. If you haven't seen that video, go on my highlights page, and you can see that one about the House of Cards. Look for the one House of Cards. I mean, crumbling down. All right, so here it's talking about all that the evildoers would do, and so the court, though, will pass judgment. This is what we're witnessing, that the court in heaven is passing judgment, and all his power of the evildoers will be taken away and completely destroyed. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will last forever, and all rulers will serve and obey him. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said that he would come with all power and authority in the clouds, in the highest position of authority, to defeat any of these people, any of them. The cabal who's at the top of the evil food chain, all of them will be destroyed. All right, so yeah, Daniel, when he saw this, he said his face was pale with fear, but he kept all these things to himself. He was like, what in the world? This is going to be a wild ride. Well, don't we know it, right? All right, so here is where it's talking about that. I'm going to pull up one other verse while we're talking on this subject. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, it also talks about that the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Okay, so this is in verse 11. 12 and 13, it's talking about, you know, after 3.5 days, 3.5, just as I was saying before, time, times, and half a time. After this period of struggle, God breathed life into them. They stood up. That's us. We've awakened. Terror struck all who were staring at them. That's the cabal. They're freaking out because they realize we're not asleep anymore. We're awake and we're going to destroy them. And then a loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets, the church and the state, and they rose, come up here. They rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watched. Some people think that means that we're leaving the earth. I don't believe that that's the case. I believe we're rising to this position of authority. We're rising and we're having righteous people in these positions of authority in the church and the state. That's going to happen. And we're seeing it already. And at that same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed a tenth of the city. 7,000 died in that earthquake, and everyone else was terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. I believe that they're seeing this happening right now because their whole empire is crumbling. And with what happened in Iran, that's a huge breakthrough to destroy the power of the cabal. You destroy their military might, and their financial might has been destroyed. And then the biggest terror of all, the second terror has passed, but look, the third terror is coming quickly. It's not terror for us, it's terror for them. The seventh angel blew his trumpet. He says, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. Again, where our Lord Jesus said he will be given that, you know, come on the clouds of heaven. He'll be sitting at the right hand of the Father, as Daniel chapter 7 said. He'll be, the kingdom will be given to the holy people. And Revelation 11 says that the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. This is the Hallelujah Chorus we've been singing for years, waiting for the day when he will take his rulership and reign. Here it says in verse 17, we give thanks to you, the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who always was, for now you've assumed your great power and have begun to reign. He was born the king, and now he is taking his authority as the king. Praise the Lord. The nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. It's time to judge the dead and reward your servants, the prophets, as well as your holy people and all who fear your name, from the least to the greatest. It's time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. He has the power to do it. And that's what he was telling Caiaphas they would see that day. And that's why they're panicking. That's why they're in great fear. As it said here in Revelation 11, they will be terror struck all who are staring at them. This is the terror. And it also talks about this all throughout. I do this in the book. Let's see. In both of these books, I talk about the woman in labor, Right. There's that, and look at, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, the woman in labor is talking about this birthing, and that so many times in the Old Testament, I think 18 times it says that they'll be in great fear when they see the woman in labor. We are birthing this kingdom on earth. All right, so there you go on that. Then he also said in Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus was telling them, you know, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Says, you know, when you see this, and that's the thing that we have seen. We have seen this abomination of desolation. That's what woke you up. When you realized what these people do, that they run a worldwide trafficking ring of children, that they literally do satanic sacrifices, that so much of this karma is part of their satanic sacrifices. You said no. That's when you woke up and you said, I'm going to start fighting with everything I've got on the daily basis. I'm going to share this information. That's what we have been doing for actually, I don't know, 10 years. Seems like a long time. But we're as President Trump just said this the other day, he says, war's over, just about over. So we're really at the end of this war. I don't think he was talking about just Iran. He's talking about the cabal. All right, so when you see this, take notice, he's saying, whosoever reads, let him understand. And so that was drawing our attention back to Daniel chapter 9, where it's talking about this, the end will come with a flood. Its miseries are decreed from that time to the end. It's just horrible. That's an abomination of desolation. This ruler will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven, but after half this time, he will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings. And as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he'll set up the sacrilegious object that causes desecration. That is the abomination of desolation. Okay, that's what it's talking about. This is what Jesus was reminding us of in Matthew 24. You know that the end is near when you see the abomination of desolation, until the fate decreed from this defiler is finally poured on him, until he finally gets what he deserves, until he finally, this criminal cabal that's run all this evil, it's not one individual, Antichrist, this is a cabal, a network, a mafia, a crime ring, a globalist syndicate that has done all this evil. All right, so this is what we've now seen. When you see this, you know the end is near. When there's an awakening and we all see it like at the same time. All right, so I want you to see that. This is from Matthew 24. And let me go ahead and just pull this up. I'm going to pull it up in context so you can see. This is what I do sometimes, is I compare them with different versions so you can see, you know, the different wording, and you can, it really helps you to come up with a better understanding of what this is about. And that's why they really, on that passage, they really tried to confuse everybody about that, because they knew how important that passage was. They definitely did not want us to understand what the abomination of desolation was, but we know. We know what it is now. All right. So yeah, the day is coming when you'll see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration. We now know this desecration. It causes desecration because it's their satanic sacrifices on this earth. And all the evil that they cook up, like brewing like a witch's brew in a cauldron. And all of humanity is in that cauldron. And when we have seen that, not just the evil to the children, but it's to all of humanity, for all of God's children. This is what we're, you know, and it's not about someone going and standing in a temple. It's obviously not about that. Reader, pay attention. This is why we pay attention. I bet each one of you could remember, the day when you woke up and it, like, your hair stood on end and you stood at attention. That's how I felt. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? I think it was the Wiener laptop that woke me up. I remember the day, and it was that. They were talking about this laptop. I'm like, what? And realizing what this was about. So that's, all of us, at one time or the other, we woke up. paid attention. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down to the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return to get a coat. In other words, don't do anything else. I'm telling you that I know you, every one of you, have the same thing. And since you woke up, this has been your daily food every day. What do I do to learn the truth and share the truth? And we're not going down to the house to pack. We're not going to get a coat. We're not doing any of our normal thing. We can't, because the Spirit of the Lord is in us, that He's propelling us. He's compelling us to fight, fight, fight. And so we're going to fight until this enemy is gone. We're not going to live on an earth where these people are on this earth with us. It's them or us. And we're going to have this earth filled with the knowledge of the Lord. This earth is ours. We are the inheritors of this earth. And Susie says, how terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. Yes, because they've done such damage to the children. We're going to have our health back. We will. And if you haven't gone to my health page, I'm going to show you this really great restoration for someone. It's just so exciting. Freedomforce.live, L-I-V-E / health. But I just love getting these wonderful testimonies about how people are getting well. So exciting. I just posted this morning also about Ibogaine that the president just approved this week. So that's exciting. I just posted that on the social media. So check that out. So exciting. We're there, you guys. We're going to have everyone's health back. Okay. So how terrible, though, it has been. And so many babies have died. I can't even talk about it. It's just so awful. Pray your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be greater anguish than at any time since the world began. Just like when Daniel was seeing this, he was like pale in the face because he thought this is just going to be horrible. And it has been. I'm so over it. And I know you are too. And in fact, unless the time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive. But it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones, for the righteous on the earth. Therefore, if anyone tells you, look, there's the Messiah. There he is. Don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. So see, I've warned you about this ahead of time. So if someone tells you, look, the Messiah's out in the desert, don't bother to go look. Look, he's hiding here. Don't believe it. For as the lightning, this is the point I want you to see, as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Okay, there's another big clue. He was saying the clouds of heaven, which I believe is power, and lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west. So it will be when the Son of Man comes. Okay, I'm going to throw something out there. How do I say this? Get myself in trouble. What is this going to be? It's something that will get everyone's attention. Something, I think, in the heavens, like a lightning that could really go. I mean, it could be a physical something in the sky worldwide that could get everyone's attention. That'd be pretty cool. And again, it'd be pretty cool if it was on the Omer, on the Pentecost, the Mass Start Awakening, something to awaken everyone like a lightning flash. You know how lightning flashes just cover the entire sky, just like east to west. What about worldwide? I'm just throwing this out there to reveal our Lord Jesus. Okay? I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay, that one is Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Now, verse 28, just as the gathering of vultures shows you there's a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. What is he, vultures? That's us. We are vultures. Yay, we're the vultures. I love that in Revelation chapter 19, it talks about the vultures flying high in the sky. That happened on Christmas Day. I believe it says the angel was standing in the sun. On that day, the angels stood in the sun, which is Venus was standing in the sun. And on that day is when the banks went belly up. They could not meet their margin calls because of how they shorted silver and gold. And their financial empire cratered on Purim. You count to the 1335th day was when, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's when their military power was sunk, or the beginning of it. They were attacked, and they were sunk on the seventh day of Passover. All this is so biblical. These vultures is us. These vultures are us. We like our amazing military. They're the vultures. What is that that famous phrase that says, you know, I'm, we don't destroy the phrase, but you know, we will provide the meeting. You know, we don't do the judgment of God, but we provide the meeting. Send you on to the Lord to have judgment, to bring down judgment. Y'all know the phrase I'm talking about. All right. So yeah, the vultures show there's a carcass nearby. We're destroying them. That's the point. We're the vultures flying high in the sky. Come eat the flesh of kings. Revelation 19. We are destroying this carcass. There's this sign indicate the end is near. We're vultures. We're waiting. We're waiting. Day after day after day, we are waiting for this criminal cabal to be destroyed, and we are destroying them with every post, every like, every share, everything that we're seeing. We're not stopping. We will not stop until they're gone, right? Immediately after the anguish of those days. Of course, you know about the sign of the Son of Man. I'm not going to go into that, but it does say they'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, again, with the power and glory that he is coming to rule, not to go to the cross again, but to go to the place of authority and to rule and destroy them. Send forth his angels. He did that. Okay. And then this one also, as I was quoting a little earlier, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud, its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. So we're right there. We are right there. Now, the thing I wanted to, show you is it does say the branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout. That's where we are in the seasons, right? At least that's where we are in Houston. I'm thinking where everybody is, the branches are budding and the leaves are beginning to sprout. It's a beautiful awakening of humanity, the world, the awakening of creation in the springtime. So it would not surprise me also that this be in, you know, this is happening in springtime, right? I tell you the truth, this generation, this age, this 2,000 years, okay, don't think of a generation as in 25 years or 75 years. This generation will not pass away from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. So this is it's talking about the generation of the age, the 2,000 year age. That's what it's really talking about. So clearly, he wasn't talking about 75 years, okay? And all these things will happen. All right. So now, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows. So we are moving forward each day until the Lord's perfect timing. He's given us a lot of clues, and we're seeing all these things happen, as he was saying earlier, but we don't know the exact precise moment when that lightning flash. I'm ready for the lightning flash. I'm ready for Jesus to be revealed. All right, so when the Son of Man returns, it'll be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah entered his boat. They didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. These people still think, okay, we can escape. I think they're starting to get it, though. I think they're starting to get it. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. What is this taken? It's not about being taken to heaven. It's that's what they've led us to believe. That's not what it is. We know that the two that are working together, one is evil and one is righteous. The evildoer will be taken to judgment. They didn't want us to think about that, but that's the truth. That is the truth. So keep watch. You don't know the day your Lord is coming. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. All right, so it has a story there. I'm not going to that one, but yeah, he's wanting us to be ready all the time and be in the fight. All right. So I want you to see that. Now, I showed you that one. And okay, this is a passage in Titus chapter 2, and verse 13. It's talking about the day that we are looking for the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so I was comparing all the different versions. I'll do that, and then I'll take you to the in context portion. Awaiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We are all waiting for his return, just like the, you know, the disciples. Even though we're busy in the battle, we're ready for that lightning flash. We're ready for that moment, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, waiting for the blessed hope. All right, this is our hope. This is when the Bible uses the word hope, it really means our confidence. It's not that, oh, I hope this will happen. We completely are convinced this is going to happen. We know this is going to happen. That's why, you know, I hear people who online who talk about, oh, we don't know if we're going to win. I'm like, yes, we do. You might not know, but we know, because we've seen the signs in the heavens that prove that this is the day when we are going to defeat our enemies. Just grab super quick. I'm going to go to Melissa Red Pill, melissaredpill.com. And when you go there, you scroll all the way to the bottom and you see this right here, this beautiful sign in the heavens delineated in Revelation 12, 1 and 2. It was the kickoff to the Great Awakening. This is the woman in labor. So we know for sure this is happening. All right, so this was 1 Thessalonians. Take you to next. This is Titus. What did I do with my Titus one? Okay, go back. Titus 2. Okay, now I'm going to show that to you in context. That one up. Okay, here it says, full chapter, verse 13 of Titus chapter 2. It says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinless, sinful pleasures. We should live in this world, evil world, with wisdom and righteousness and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed." Now he's bringing that up, and he's talking about, you know, how we should live our lives. But he's saying this reason why we live our lives this way is because we know the Lord is going to come and he's going to tear the cabal up, and we do not want to be on their side. We do not want to be in their camp at all, right? So this is a beautiful passage, though, talking about we're looking for his appearing when Christ will be revealed. Will be revealed. I think that's to be honest, I think that appearing and revealed is a better word, in my opinion. All right, so put that in your noggin to think about, okay? So I hope you're really writing all these things down and remembering all these things. Now, the next thing I want to show you is this passage, right? This is very cool. This is happening June 9th, 2026. And for those who are on a podcast, you might want to go watch the video or go to Stellarium, the online planetarium, and you will see a beautiful sign that's happening in the heavens on the 9th of June this year. This is the conjunction, or the conjoining, of Jupiter and Venus. And if you haven't seen it, go to my channel where I talk about the Bethlehem star. This is exactly what happened on the day our Lord Jesus was born. This is what the wise men were watching for. The wise men were watching for the Bethlehem star. They knew it was going to be a conjunction of Jupiter and Venus. And after there'd been a crowning, I'm not going to go into it right now, but if you want to see more about that, go and look up Bethlehem star on melissaredpill.com. But it's happening. This is a rare occurrence, and it's happening right here after the Jubilee. The Jubilee is, we're celebrating it in D.C. on May 17th. It's actually the Pentecost Jubilee Day is a week later. What does that make it, 26th? And then just like 2 weeks later, June 9th is when you have a conjunction of Jupiter and Venus, which makes a beautiful Bethlehem star. They're the two brightest stars. Now, what I would encourage you to do is go out and look in the western sky at night, and of course, duh, but look in the western sky and you will see this beautiful Jupiter. It's huge, bright star. You cannot miss it. The bright one is it. And if you have a telescope, you can actually see that it's the one that has the piercing and the stripes. Jupiter has stripes. And I saw it with my own eyes. So it's really cool if you have a telescope to see it. But then Venus is also very, very, very bright, and they can join on June 9th. I'm just saying. There you go. So that'd be very cool. I'm up for that. I'm up for the revealing. I'm up for this to be like what the wise men saw, and for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. I'll be up for that. I'm up for it. I'm ready for him to assume his role and begin to reign. Who, anybody else? I'm ready. I'm ready for him to judge the evildoers. All right. So, okay. This is the one. Okay. I read to you Matthew 20. That one I read. Now, this one is a passage that I'm bringing up. To be honest, I don't think it's about this, his coming to rule the earth. I think this is about the time when he defeats death. Death is conquered. I have videos about that where I go into comparing the different passages that have the same type of language. They've used this passage to make you think, oh, well, this is us escaping earth. I don't believe that that is the case. It's and I'll read it to you, but understanding it also has other passages that are, you know, almost identical in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51, and 52, as well as in Revelation 20, where it's, see, after the 1,000 years, then death is conquered and heaven and earth merge. But anyway, write those things down, Songbird, if you don't mind. Okay, it says, now, dear brothers, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you'll not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Again, this is what it's, well, I believe this is about us all joining back together in the people in heaven and on earth will join back together. That is our blessed hope, is that not only our Lord Jesus will rule the world, but that we will be restored and there'll be no more death one day. And that we will be restored to our loved ones, not just in heaven, but everyone on earth. There'll be a merging. There will be no difference between heaven and earth. This is paradise restored. We tell you this directly. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves, and then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will all be together with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. This is, I really do believe in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16, 17. This portion right here is talking about at the end, after the 1,000 years of peace, where heaven and earth merge, when death is conquered. Again, I go into this because it's in chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20 in this book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. All right. So we're not going to really go into that right now, but I figured that some people were like, well, what about this passage? Well, I'm telling you, that's what I believe that passage is talking about. All right. Now, I said I was going to tell you this. And so remember how I was saying they've tried to take away the festivals. And they did that on purpose so that we would not realize what was going on. Well, it dawned on me yesterday that at the beginning of each Omer week, you know how you count each week? This is week one of the counting of the Omer, day one. This is the week one of the Omer, day two. Okay, so it's a big deal to say, okay, this is the first week. It's like a big trumpet blast of, okay, this is the week one, ba-bam, ba-bam, right? And then you have week two, ba-ba-ba-bam. And every week, it's like, okay, here we are, and we're getting to the seventh week, and then Pentecost is coming. All right, so this is, again, they just didn't want us to keep these festivals because you get clued in on some things. All right, so as I was saying, what has been going on with these festivals in the past few weeks? Well, we know that President Trump attacked the IRGC, the proxy of the cabal, on Purim. Purim is the day we celebrate the annihilation of our enemies from the book of Esther. If you haven't seen that, go and watch my videos on Purim, P-U-R-I-M, over on melissaredpill.com. But then he also had this post, remember the post where he said, civilization will die tonight? That was on the seventh day of Passover, celebrating the day when the Egyptian army was covered over by the Red Sea. They won't know what hit them until the flood comes and washes them all away. All right? So this is all happening on biblical timeline. President Trump is following this biblical festival timing to the T. Right? And it's not a coincidence. Now, we start the festival of the counting of the Omer, where we're filling up this beautiful bundle of grain. And it dawned on me that those two posts that I'm telling you, the world came completely unglued. The people went into orbit. Forget the lunar deal. The people went into orbit. We're going on a blast off of the golden age. I love how the whitehouse.gov says the front page, welcome to the golden age. I love that. I always start, and for those of you who don't know, I actually wrote a book called The Golden Age. If you want to know what's going to happen in the golden age, you're going to flip out. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's the unity, the joy, the health, the wealth, the peace, the justice. I'm telling you, the golden age is awesome. Welcome to the golden age. I just changed my ex account, Melissa Redpill, to say, get in. We're going to the golden age. I love it. I'm just love President Trump so much. All right. So week one was the day that he said, open up the bleeping straight, you bleeping, bleeping, bleep, bleep, bleepity, bleep on Easter morning. That one, I'm telling you, they went completely bottle rockets. They went crazy about that. And of course, that was, I think it was from that post that Tucker's calling President Trump the Antichrist and all that. Okay. Yeah. The one who's ending the wars. He's the Antichrist. Okay, sure. Anyway, so that was week one. And then week two of the counting of the Omer was when President Trump had his healing hand on what looks like JFK Jr. Did you see that? Yeah, I'm like, I didn't even see that at first, but this post was really something else. And they went crazy over that. That was week two. So tomorrow is the beginning of week three. Today's Saturday, the 18th of April. On the 19th of April begins the Sunday, the week three of the counting of the Omer. Let's be watching. Just telling you, buckle up, because no telling what he's going to post. No telling. He's following the biblical festivals. He knows the biblical festivals, and this is all going according to biblical timing. So it's very, very exciting. Okay, if here are a couple of places where you can go and see the Purim. I'll just go ahead and share this. If you just search on my channel or either on my Rumble, because I've just now gotten back on YouTube, either do that. Or if you go to, let me see if I can share this one. You can grab this one. The Purim is the storm. Grab it real quick. And I'll pop this over into the chat. All right. That is the Purim one. If you want to watch more about Purim, you can do that one. Here's one about the Passover. Here's where I talked about the Passover. And that one right there, which it says POTUS will be up all night. That's where we were. Yeah. We've been watching for that day since 2018. And we saw that was the destruction of the Cabal IRGC proxy on that day. So this is Passover. Also, I have the one of Passover prep. I'll go ahead and grab that one for you real quick and pop that into the chat so you guys can see how to keep Passover in the And the beautiful symbolism is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Okay. So we're prepped. Okay. So there's that one. Grab that, if you will, Songbird, and pop that over onto the YouTube. I would really appreciate it. Now, who loves Songbird? Thank you, Songbird. All right. So here's a passage from the Golden Age where it's talking about the return of Christ. And so these are all the chapters. And the one we're going to talk about is the one on Christ the King, where he is the king of the world. And you already have the here, but I'll go ahead and grab it one more time for you for the books over on Amazon for $2.99. And so you can grab those and you can actually send them to people, just email them to people just to see if they're interested in finding out some of these wonderful clues from God's word and good news. Everybody needs some good news. They're all about good news. Actually, the Golden Age just got approved on Kindle. So if you'd like to listen to it on the Kindle, it's now just got approved yesterday on Kindle. I do have the audiobooks also on melissaredpill.com, so you can go and listen to them there. All right, but here's the passage I just would love to read all of it to you, but I'm just going to read little snippets from the book. This is page, if you have the book, it's page 226. So it's like one of the last chapters where it's talking about him as the king of the world. And this is where I was just reading to you from Revelation 11. You know, we give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is, who was, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Praise the Lord. He's ruling this world finally. Isaiah 9, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there'll be no end on David's throne and on his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time on, even forever. Yay! We're looking for this blessed hope of him ruling the world. All right, so physically with us, restored to us, he will receive us to himself. And then if you, it says the kingship will be restored to my precious Jerusalem. That's in Micah chapter 4, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. Praise the Lord. Yes. All right. So then it says here, look at this. I will keep you and make you a covenant for the people as a light for the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of the dungeon and those who sit in darkness out of the prison. That's where we are. We're all escaping the prison. That's really what Jubilee is about. Jubilee is the day when the captives are set free. This is a beautiful, we're ready. All right, so these are passages, very short. I'm gonna just pop these out there, and I'll read them out to you, and you can maybe go back and listen to it again so you can get the verses, or you can, they're on page 228 of the book, The Golden Age, okay? I did all this work for you, so you have all the verses. Zechariah 6:13, he'll bear the glory, he will sit and rule on his throne, he'll be priest on his throne, the council of peace will be between both roles. Zechariah 14:9, Yahweh will be king over all the earth. In that day, Yahweh will be one, his name one. Hosea 11:9, for I am God, not man, the Holy One among you. Obadiah 1, chapter 1, verse 21, and the Lord himself will be king. Micah chapter 4, verse 7, Yahweh will reign over them on Mount Zion from then on, even forever. Praise the Lord. All right, so then up here a little farther, I read to you John 14. I won't read that one again. In Matthew 28, where our Lord Jesus said he'll be with us to the end of the age. And then in Zephaniah 3, my personal favorite, for the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the armies of your enemy. The cabal, the New World Order cabal, will be dispersed. The Lord himself, not just dispersed, but gone. Okay. The Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. How about that one? Who likes that one? I'm ready for that one. I'm ready to see that, for that to be revealed, for that to be, clear. The Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. At last, your troubles will be over, and you will never again fear disaster. On that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, cheer up, Zion. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. Love that. The rest of verse 17 says, he is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Oh, I just love it. I'm just loving the golden age. The promises are there for us. Just got to receive them and believe them, and then we're going to see them come to light. But right now, we're walking by faith, but soon our faith will turn to sight. So I love it. Yeah, here's where the audiobooks, I've got my pages switched up, but this is where you can see the audiobooks right here over on melissaredpill.com. You can actually get them all and get one free if you would like. So I'll just put out here, audiobooks, buy three, get one free. It took, just so you know, doing audiobooks takes forever. It's forever. Anyway, but I'm very happy to be able to do it so you can hear it how it's in my head. Oh, I've got some really fun news. I said I was going to tell you this really fun news. This is from one of our patriots. I'm not going to tell her name, but her mother, I'll just read it to you. Here's her message that she sent me. Good morning, Melissa. I just wanted to tell you some great personal news. My mother had a UTI just because of the way she's built from her early 20s. And she's been on antibiotics ever since until now, and she's 87. Can you imagine, you guys, 67 years on antibiotics. Her gut has been a poor thing. poor thing due to the products I bought from your website, the silver and the P2, the P-squared probiotics. For the first time in her life since her 20s, she has no UTI. And there's hope for her to have regular BM. So that's crazy and cool. I'm so excited. It makes me so happy. This is what this is about. The probiotics and the silver. They're what God has given to us. He gave us natural things so that we can be well. And we have wonderful patriots who have made sure that we have access to these. So the silver gets rid of all these microbes and the fungus and the mold. And then the P squared probiotics goes back and builds up your good bacteria. So important. If you have not seen that, you've got to go to the P squared page and learn about how to protect your microbiome. It's extremely important. If you haven't done this already, this is the probiotics. I'm putting that over in the chat. This is hugely important to have your good bacteria overwhelm the bad bacteria. And that's exactly what happened with this lady. And now her system is working right. The antibiotics is not, it's not the answer. It's not the answer. Read and watch the videos. Here's a video about loving your guts and what it means to do that. And so my wonderful friend Heather explains all this, and she's on the fight for your microbiome. She's on the fight to have a good gut health. They have just about destroyed our guts. Love your guts. And if you don't know about that, watch these videos and also read this page, freedomforce.live/P2. You can find it on melissaredpill.com. But anyway, go to the P squared P2 page, and it destroys this biofilm that's all throughout your guts to keep you from getting the nutrients that you need. And so this is just so exciting that she's on the good fight. I mean, she works herself so hard to try to help people understand how to do this. And so what you want to do is everything in your house, you chase it with good bacteria so that it'll overwhelm any bad bacteria. So you just don't have bad bacteria taking over your house for your home cleaning and for your pets. My little puppy dogs drink this and they have it in their water. And at first they're like, what are you doing? But now they really like it. And also the mouthwash that we have. I've told you about my dental visit was amazing. They're like, what are you doing? It was because of the mouthwash I've been using. So exciting. And also the healing. Don't use the stuff that they give you at the doctors. Give your body the fighting chance to completely not get an infection and to be completely well. You're going to love it. And I've a cleaner for the veggies. Oh, and the water additive. You've got to try that. This is a true probiotic that passes through the stomach and gets to your gut where you really need it. Doesn't get destroyed in the stomach. And they've got them on special right now for 20 for the price of 15. So they come in a pouch, and so you got 20 instead of 15. So it's really great. All right. So now I want you to see that. And also, let's see the health page. Let's see if I've got that one open. The health page is where you can learn more about the silver. Go to freedomforce.live/health. And you can learn more. I've got videos to explain what is this silver that she was talking about. So fun, so exciting. And also they have bundles and they have great specials going on right now with their new website. You get 15% off with FFB. All right, I'm going to show you one other quick thing that President Trump, a couple things. President Trump, his beautiful assistant, you call it the one who speaks in the press briefings. I can't remember what her title is. Whatever. Carolyn Leavitt, beautiful. She's about to have a baby. And I'm just saying that's pretty cool because it's the woman in labor. She's having a baby in May. I'm just saying that's beautiful symbolism. And that's a beautiful dress. She's a beautiful person. But I just think that's super, super cool. I want a dress like that. That is so pretty. All right. So what a beautiful mother. Beautiful ladies are having babies. I'm excited about the babies, the golden age of babies. Also, President Trump put this out there. Just so happened last night, I never hardly ever go to the website. I just am so busy. But I went to whitehouse.gov and I saw that President Trump was giving well wishes to 500 Americans who started reading the entire Bible this upcoming week. Did you know about that? This is exactly what Nehemiah and Ezra did, and also Josiah did. This was when they restored the kingdom, is when they read the Bible. And so this is what's happening over on the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. And this is what he said. I've got this post. I'm going to give you this too. I'm going to pop this over in the chat so you can see this beautiful Bible. This is what he's commemorating 250 years of the Bible in America with the reading of the entire Bible this week. 500 people are there reading. I guess they're all reading like so many paragraphs, so many, I don't know, chapters. I don't know how they're doing it exactly, but I need to go. I just found out about this last night. So I think that is so exciting. I want you to see that. I know I've already gone over time, but I wanted just to say, why do we fight for righteousness in our country? It's because if we allow evil to take over, then what we've seen happen happens. Everything is destroyed. The political institutions, the educational institutions, everything is destroyed when the evil just takes over. Whereas when righteousness flows down the mountains, flows in every place, whether it's the government or the schools or the churches or wherever it is, then it's everything's set right. And that, just like Nehemiah and Ezra said, you know, they knew that they would bear the consequences if their society was not run properly. That's where we are too. We realize I'm not trying to tell everybody how to live, but you can't do evil. You can't be hurting kids. You're just not going to allow it. We will not allow it in our society. And that's what happened with Nehemiah and Ezra when they read the word to them and said, this is what God's word says. We must have a just and righteous society. So I love it. So, so excited. Here's a passage in Nehemiah where it says, the people assembled with unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men, the women, and all the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. So this is what's happening, I believe, with this being read. One other quick thing before we go. This is a website. I'm gonna pop this in here. It's called Restore American Schools. This is where you can get 10 commandments to help Texas schools. Okay, and you can, if you felt led of the Lord, or Texas schools. There's the link called RestoreAmericanSchools.com. And so you can go on there and donate $30 to sponsor a school to have the Ten Commandments put into the classrooms. I would really encourage you to do that. I think that's a very good way to spend $30 to support the Word of God in the classrooms. And if they're paid for by a non-public source, then they have to be put up into the schools. So praise the Lord for that. This is a law that Texas instituted. They have to put the Ten Commandments into the classrooms. And praise the Lord, this is going to happen in all the classrooms throughout the country, right? Praise the Lord. All right, I think that's it. I know I've went too long, but I don't think y'all mind. I know you like it. I know you've got things to do. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to jet, okay? Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you and thank you that you are the King and that you will dwell with us and that every eye will see you, every tongue will confess that you are the Lord, that everyone will know you from the least to the greatest, that we'll look for our enemies, we won't be able to find them, that you're going to destroy all the works of darkness in this world. Thank you that the Word of God is being preeminent in this day. Thank you for the golden age with it. It's the golden age of truth everywhere. Your Word will be supreme. We're so excited that this is, we're going to see this day. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the courage and the compulsion, the power, the strength to fight during this whole time, and that we are witnessing the salvation of the world, really, everyone in the world being set free. Thank you for the counting of the Omer and what we're being able to see, that we're seeing just one thing after another. This is getting brighter and brighter and better and better, and the world being set free from this cabal. Lord, we thank you that the enemy can't do anything to stop it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you that you're the King. We praise you, just like the elders, they fell on their faces and they worshiped, that you finally assumed your role and have come to reign. We cannot wait until we see that lightning flash and everyone seeing this world set right. We cannot wait. We're so excited to see it. And thank you for the counting of the Omer and the beautiful Pentecost that's coming. We were really happy if that's the day that we have the Mass Start Awakening. And we would be really happy too if that's the day you returned. Or maybe June 9th when we see the Bethlehem Star. Either way, we just are very thankful that you are the King. your rule and righteousness. Thank you for giving us this great inheritance, that we are entering into your kingdom. We're just so thankful. Thank you for everyone on the Freedom Force Battalion. I thank you for everything that they are doing every day as you continually lead every one of us, just like you always have, and you orchestrate what we research and what we share and who we share it with, and that nothing can stop what is coming because you control the hearts of men, turn the hearts of men and kings, everyone, whichever way you wish. And we're your willing servants. We're happy to do that. I pray for their health. I pray for their peace of mind. I pray for their everything that they do, that they put their hand to, that you will put a blessing on it. I pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. I'm so glad to be with you. And I know I went over, but I'm going to jet. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central, okay? I love you, and I will talk to you later.
A sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.